Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A cardiologist was shocked to see his 86-year-old patient at a restaurant with a girl who couldn't have been more than 30. And he was so concerned about it that when the older gentleman got up to go to the restroom, he followed him in. Cardiologist looked at this man. He said, "What are you doing?" And the 86-year-old guy, he said, "Doc, I'm doing just what you told me to do." He said, "Well, what did I tell you?" He said, "Well, you told me if I wanted to live long, that to get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor looked at him and said, "I told you if you want to live long, you got a heart murmur, be careful." How many of you know selective hearing does not change with age, does it? This morning, I want to talk about what happens when you feel overwhelmed and the fact that there is a better place. You hear people talk today, and one of the biggest buzzwords that's out there is people dealing with anxiety, and that's become just a major force that people are having to deal with, and a lot of times people feel overwhelmed. And they feel overwhelmed, which is that feeling of you're overcome, you're crushed, you're buried. And that can be from pressure that you're dealing with, maybe in relationships. It could be with a job thing or deadlines. If you're a student, you're in school, you feel overwhelmed with the class structure and what you've got to get done. Or it can be a combination of a lot of things just all put together. And the thing is, what happens? How do you respond when you're overwhelmed? Now, the beautiful thing is, if you're a believer, there's different ways to respond. Now, I can tell you how a lot of people respond. Some people just go into paralysis. They just absolutely shut down. And when because they feel overwhelmed, they just don't know where to start, and so they do nothing. A lot of times people escape. And there's different ways people escape. You know, that's why we can't judge. What may be your escape, not someone else's escape. You know, for some people it's food. The word comfort food is a real deal. I know that when I'm under pressure, my Oreo consumption goes up. And, you know, for some people, they think Blue Bell is an answer for what ails you. But a lot of times people can escape into food. They can escape into binge watching. And now binge watching is not only television, but it's internet. And, man, you can scroll for a while and all of a sudden realize you just blew 2 hours. And there's doom scrolling where you're looking at everything negative. People escape into gaming. There's retail therapy. You know what retail therapy is? That's where you buy stuff. Retail therapy, that's a way of escape. And some of those are, I think, maybe time wasters. They're not necessarily bad, but if you're not careful when you're in paralysis, you're trying to get rid of that feeling. You're trying to get rid of that overwhelming feeling. And so you can go even into more negative things. This is where you see substance abuse. This is where you see people get into wrong relationships. This is where you see pornography enter in, where people just get just up to their eyeballs in it. And oftentimes, people are trying to simply make an escape. They're trying to get out of that sense of pressure that they feel. And so what do you do when you're overwhelmed? Well, we can learn. And we can learn from someone in the Bible who was overwhelmed, someone who dealt with it and experienced it. He's really one of my favorite characters. It's probably one of the most famous in the Bible. It's David. David was someone who experienced being overwhelmed. We're going to read his story this morning. And David being overwhelmed, we look at David and we go, not David? David's almost like our version of a Bible superhero. He's a king. He's a warrior. He's a poet. He writes music. I mean, David is an amazing person, and yet when you read the Psalms, it's like you get a backstage pass into David's life, and you begin to see how he's dealing with things and how David deals with things and how he processes things. And David had an answer for when he felt overwhelmed. In Psalms, the 61st chapter, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." David is saying, man, I'm crying out to God. I like from the ends of the earth. He feels so isolated. I just feel so alone. I'm at the far corners at the earth. That's way past cut and shoot. And he's way out. He said, I'm at the end of the earth. He said, I'm crying out to you. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. In other words, God, you've got a higher place for me. I don't have to live being overwhelmed. There was a story recently read of a father talking to his five-year-old son, Martin. He told Martin, he said, Martin, we got to go to Home Depot. He said, and if you're good in Home Depot, I will take you to the movies. Do we have a deal? Martin said, we got a deal. So they go to Home Depot. It's crowded. It's a Saturday morning. And he said they hadn't been in Home Depot long. And Martin started to whine and complain, and he was really making it difficult to do the shopping. And his dad looked at him and said, Martin, he said, you are not keeping up with your end of the deal, buddy. And Martin's tears rolling down his face. And his dad looked down and noticed that his shoes were untied. So the dad kneeled down. And when he was kneeling down to tie his shoes, he got the perspective of what it was like to be a five-year-old in Home Depot on a crowded day. And he realized it was chaotic. People were nudging and bumping into one another. I know this couldn't have been a Texas Home Depot. This is somewhere else. But they're nudging and bumping into one another. They said a lady was screaming hysterically for a lost child. Someone had knocked over a display. And from a five-year-old's perspective, he was getting nudged and hit with bags. And so from his perspective, the father realized it was a chaotic, overwhelming experience. So he picked his son up and he put him on his shoulders. He said, hey buddy, why don't we do shopping on another day? And I thought when I heard that story, I thought, boy, that's good. That father got a perspective of what it was like to see life and see things from a five-year-old's perspective. But we have a heavenly Father who already knows our perspective. We have a Jesus who is touched with every feeling of our infirmities. And when we go to him and go, Lord, I'm overwhelmed, he's got an answer for us. He doesn't put us down. He lifts us up above that. He is the rock that's higher than we are, and he can help. So this morning, I want us to take a look at one of David's situations. And then I want us to see a prayer that David prays inside of being overwhelmed. And in this prayer, we can see a pattern for us. David is, for those of you, many of you know all about King David, that David was the second king of Israel. Saul was the king. Saul was not a good king. Saul was disqualified for being a king, and God chose David. Even though David's family just completely overlooked him, God chose David to be the next king. And David, of course, you know the story of David and Goliath, and he kills Goliath, and the people begin to sing. The number one song on the charts in Israel was Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul got jealous, and Saul recognized David could be the next king. So Saul is trying to kill David. Now, I know a lot of us deal with situations that are challenging. Very few of us deal with people trying to kill us. They might write bad things about us, but there's a difference between trolling and killing. Saul is trying to kill David, and so for 7 years, he's a fugitive and he's running. This is early on in his relationship, early on in his fugitive lifestyle, and we see David actually make a wrong move. It's found here in 1 Samuel. So David escaped from Saul and went to King Achish of Gath. But the officers of Achish were unhappy about his being there. Isn't this David, the king of the land, they ask? Isn't he the one the people honor with dances, singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? David heard these comments and was very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. So he pretended to be insane, scratching on doors and drooling down his beard. Finally, King Achish said to his men, must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest? So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Abdullah. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then the others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. This is the place in David's life where he's alone. We don't see him have anybody around him. He is all by himself. And he is afraid of Saul. He's got to escape from Saul. So he's under pressure from Saul. And so he runs to the king of Gath, the Philistines. He runs to the enemy. It's one of the only times that we see David make a major move without praying. And if you'll follow David's life, you'll find that most every other time he's about to make a big move, you hear the term David inquired of the Lord. David would ask the Lord, but this time he didn't ask the Lord. He just had an idea. I'm under pressure from Saul. I'm going to go to the Philistines, and the Philistines, Saul won't look for him there. Yeah, you're right. Saul did not look for him there, but the problem was that the Philistines knew who he was. Because David went to Achish, the king of Gath. There was someone else who was from Gath. Anybody know who it was? Some of you kids? Goliath was from Gath. So David already killed their hometown hero. So he shows up, and evidently King Achish didn't know it, but the people around him knew it. They said, this is David. They said, man, he's got more downloads on his song than anybody else. Everyone is listening to David killed his 10,000s. And Saul, we know who this guy is. This guy is the king of the land. And now David is under pressure in the Philistine land, and he had to act like he's insane. And so he's drooling on himself and scratching and just acting like someone who has lost his mind. King Achish says, look, I got enough crazy people around me. I don't need another one. And the Bible said that David escaped. But he escaped and he goes to a cave. I don't know about you, but there are a lot better places to go to in life than a cave. Caves are typically dark and damp and they're not very cheery places. David, here he was in the cave. He's feeling isolated. And he's feeling very alone. And he is in this another low place in his life. And David is wondering, what in the world is he going to do? If he goes out into Israel, Saul's trying to kill him. If he goes to the Philistines, they will try to kill him. So David is overwhelmed. This is an overwhelming situation. But David does something, and this is one of the beautiful things about David. You'll have to watch in his life. David gets in bad places, but he gets out of them. He doesn't wind up in bad places. And in this situation, he prayed. And he asked God, we're going to look at his prayer. But he prays, and things begin to turn. His family coming to him is a big deal. Remember, his family didn't even remember to invite him to a feast when Samuel came. His family had overlooked David for years, and now they're coming to him recognizing his future calling, recognizing this man's going to be the next king of Israel, and then people begin to join him. Men begin to come. Now, they weren't the best of guys. I mean, everyone who came, they owed money to people, or they were in trouble with the law, or they were just upset. And David became their captain, 400 men. They brought their families with them. So David goes from being all by himself to probably having over 1,000 people around him and his family. And so things begin to turn. He was overwhelmed, but he prayed and God helped him. There is a rock that is higher than we are, and that better place is in God. So let's look at his prayer. This is a great prayer. This is the prayer from the cave. This is how David prayed, praying through the pressure. So he said, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I'm overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set a trap for me. You hear David praying. And what David begins to do is he just pours out his heart before the Lord. Now, this is something that is unique in David's prayers. He will start out and he'll just tell the Lord, Lord, I got a problem here. My enemy's setting traps for me. He's not fake. He's not religious. He's not talking in tones that God, you know, is like, oh. David is just real before God. He is genuine. He is real before God. But he begins to acknowledge that God is the one that knows the way he should go. That God is the one that knows. So what he's doing is he's not blaming God. He's pouring out his problem to God. He's not blaming God for the problem. He acknowledges that God is the one that has answers for him. And boy, that's a powerful thing to think about. The that when we begin to pray, we need to, that's a great way to pray. People say, well, how do I pray? Well, one of the best ways to pray is just to talk to the Lord and just pour out your heart before Him. Tell Him what's going on. You don't have to speak in Bible speak. You know, so you've heard people, they pray in King James English. Oh God, Thou art God in heaven. Yeah, we know that. But we don't have to talk like that. And God knows how you normally talk, because He hears you when you're not in church. So He knows how you talk. So when we come to Him, I've just sat down sometimes and told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is bothering me. I hate the fact that it's bothering me. But Lord, this is bothering me, but I'm not blaming You. And this is real important. When you're in prayer, don't blame God for your problems. Don't blame God for the overwhelming situation. No, listen, God's the one that gets you to a higher place. We don't want to blame Him. So we want to take that stance. We're saying, Lord, listen, I got a problem. I need Your help. But I acknowledge that You are the one. You know where I should go. David was basically telling the Lord, I don't know what to do, but You have answers. That's a great way to pray. God, I don't know what to do, but You have answers. Listen, so much of the time when we're praying, we don't know what to do, but we do know a God who knows. We do know a God who has wisdom. We do know a God that can help us. In 1898, the Americans had just ended a war with the Spanish. The Spanish-American War lasted about 10 weeks. It was over two fronts. We fought in Cuba and the Philippines. And President William McKinley was the president. He was an interesting president. He was killed by an assassin's bullet in Buffalo. But they said even while he was dying, the only thing on his lips was the Lord's Prayer. He was a praying president. He grew up in a home where his mother was a prayer, a deep prayer. But President McKinley told people, he said, I learned to pray under the pressure of being the president of the United States. I don't think it was any easier back then than it is now. I think that's got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world. You talk about being overwhelmed. You wake up every day with something overwhelming on your plate. And McKinley said that he just was in a situation where he was the one that had to declare war on Spain. And then after the war was over, what to do with the Philippines? They released Cuba, but what do we do with the Philippines? He told a group of religious leaders who came to see him, I didn't want the Philippines. He said, but I did not know what to do about that. I did not know how to handle this. It was considered a crisis. How do I handle it? He said, I asked the Democrats and I asked the Republicans. They didn't know. They still don't know. But anyway, he asked both of them. He couldn't get any help from them. And he told this group of religious leaders, he said, I'm not ashamed to tell you that night after night, he said, I walked the floors of the White House till midnight praying and asking God. He said, I would fall to my knees and ask God Almighty for light and guidance as to what to do. He said, and one night while I was asking, he said, a strategy came to me. He said, we should treat the Philippines seriously. In fact, America bought the Philippines for $20 million from the Spanish. He said, we should treat them with, do everything we can for them. He said, our fellow men for whom Christ died. And as he's praying, he gets answers. But he didn't stop praying. He looked to God for answers. Listen, we get lifted up not when we quit praying. We get lifted up when we say, God, You're the higher place. You got answers. And I'm praying till I get answers. And he said, as soon as I had that answer, he said, I went to bed and slept soundly. God can be that higher place. He can be the rock that's higher than anything else. And he helped him. Listen, if he helped a president, you say, well, that was a president. I'm not a president. And I'm not a king either. David was a king. No, you're actually something better. David was a servant of God. You're a child of God. And if God's going to answer anyone, He's going to answer His children. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? So we go to God. We pray through the pressure. Here's the second one. Recognize when overwhelmed that perspectives can be distorted. When you feel overwhelmed, if you're not careful, this is when how you see things can be distorted. Now look at David's prayer. He's still praying. This is Psalms 142 again. It's only seven verses. David said, I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. no one cares a bit what happens to me. You can hear him, you can hear his heart. He's all by himself. He's in a cave. There's nobody around him. And he's saying absolutes. No one cares. No one cares. One translation says, no man cares for my soul. David feels and he begins to talk in absolutes, and his perspective has gotten distorted. Listen, when you're overwhelmed, this is when we need to recognize we need different input and we need different thoughts. Because when you're overwhelmed, especially if you're isolated, you can become a prisoner of your own thoughts, and the echo chamber of your own mind can cause problems. And so we need to realize this is when we have to understand we need one another. Listen, I've seen this for years. I've seen people go through hard times, and they go, you know, Alan, I just need to stay away from church for a while because I'm going through a difficult time. No, that is the exact time not to go out of church, because when you get isolated, things get distorted. You don't see things right. Things become absolute. No one loves me. No one cares for me. That's a big church and no one cares. That's not true. We care. We love you. We're praying for you. This is not the place to leave. I love what Tina Baham said. She lost her husband to a boating accident, and the next week, she gets up, she's going to church. And her daughter said to her, or son, one of the kids were there. They said, Mom, they're adult children. They said, Mom, why are you going to church? You're sad. She said, I'm sad here. I might as well be sad in the presence of God. Oh, that's a book right there. They said, well, Mom, you're crying. She said, well, I'm crying here. I might as well cry in the presence of God. Listen, when you're overwhelmed, this is the place to be, because this is where you get encouragement. This is where you get different input, and this is where you begin to hear different things. You say, well, Alan, you just think that you're such a great preacher that you can help people. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's an environment here. If it's God's word and God's spirit, when you're worshiping, there's an environment here that can change things. And we need a different environment, especially when we feel overwhelmed. And then also we need to connect, not just with one another, we need to connect with God's word. Connect with God's word. David wrote this, well, not David, some people think he wrote it. Psalms 119. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Listen, when you're overwhelmed, it's not the time to put your Bible away. That's the time to pick it up and read. So reading it's so hard. No, reading it brings light. And what will help you is if you define your relationship with God's Word. You know, couples now, I understand when people start dating or start hanging out, whatever y'all do. You talk about people, they say, well, we need to define the relationship. What we need to define. So if you're like, okay, where's our relationship? And she says to you, well, we're friends. You are in the friend zone, my friend. And that's just define what your relationship is. I can just tell you right now, it ain't going anywhere. So the second thing is, oh, well, we're seeing other people. Okay, better than the friend zone, but you're still not clearly defined. It's clearly defined when you say, okay, we are a couple. We're not going to see anybody else. We're not going to have anybody. We're just dating one another, and you can move in with me. Whoa, hang on. No. We're not there yet. But you've defined yourself as a couple, and you're saying this is what we are. Listen, with God's word, you need to define what your relationship is with God's word. Is it just a book? Is it just an option? Is it just an ancient textbook? Or is it life and light and strength to you and help to your spirit? Person. See, if you'll define it differently, I know I have to read my Bible. No, you get to read your Bible, and life comes in. And by the way, here you're at the Ark, everybody reads Bible 365. That's what we do, and it helps you. It'll take you about 4 minutes a day to read one chapter, and it's a blessing in your life. Define that. Here's the last one. Go to God. He is your better place. We're going to see David make a pivot here. Look at his last thing. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. David gets overwhelmed, but David doesn't stay overwhelmed. And David has now pivoted. He's already said, no one cares about me. But then he looks at the Lord and goes, but you're my refuge. You're my strong place. You're the higher rock in my life. You're the one who sustains me. And David believed this. David believed that God would be good to him and God would help him. That God, I really believe, as I've looked at David's life and I've studied him for years, I really believe one of the biggest reasons that David comes through almost every time. Yeah, he makes mistakes, but this guy bounces back like nobody's business. And one of the reasons he bounces back is because he believed that God is good and that God would be good to him. He believes God would be good to him. David believed, he said, the godly will come around me because you've been good to me. God, you will deliver me. Now, this is in our prayers, guys. This is such an important thing. We're not wondering whether God's going to be good. One of the best ways you can begin to pray is to acknowledge, God, you are bigger and better than anything or anybody in my life. You are bigger than what is overwhelming me, and you are better to me than anybody else. See, too often, I know sometimes people chuckle when I say, hey, you're one of God's favorites, and people laugh, but you ought to grab onto that. You ought to begin to believe that he's made you accepted in the beloved. Joy talked about it last week. He's made you accepted. He's made you highly favored in the beloved. You ought to believe if God is going to be good to anybody, he's going to be good to me. He is bigger than anything I'm going through, and he's going to help me. What a great way to pray. But when you're overwhelmed and just things have come and you just say, God, thank you. You're bigger and you're better in my life than anybody or anything. I love how the ancient Hebrews would pray. Oftentimes they would start their prayers with, God, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Boy, that makes him big. Steve Denuff tells a story. When he was in the sixth grade, his dad wanted to congratulate him for something he had accomplished. So his dad took him to Kmart. For those of you who were younger, Kmart's gone now. Kmart was Walmart before Walmart became Walmart. And Kmart was one of the places that had everything. He said his dad took him to Kmart, and he stood at the entrance of the store, and he spread his hands out. He said, son, I'll buy you anything in this store. Steve said he did not really understand money, and he didn't understand his dad's capacity. So he walked past the nice bicycles. He walked past the stereo sets, and he bought a tape deck, a cassette tape deck. I know this guy's got to be close to my age. Cassette. I'm going to help you. Okay. We went from records to 8 tracks. Anybody remember 8 tracks? Okay. 8 tracks. Then we went to cassettes. Then we went to DVDs, and we went to downloads. So we're talking way back. But for a while there, cassettes were cutting edge, and you would get these big decks that would hold your cassettes. He said he bought it. It cost less than $50. And he walked out of there feeling good about himself because he couldn't afford that. And it was a nice cassette tape deck. He said his dad was good. Years later, his dad said, told him this. He said, Steve, I walked into that Kmart with $1,000 cash in my pocket. He said, and if that wasn't going to be enough, I brought my checkbook in the event that you wanted something more expensive than that. Steve did not know how big his dad was, how good his dad was, and he limited himself because he didn't ask. He could have walked in there and picked out the nicest stereo or a 10-speed bike and said, God, this is what I want, Dad, and his dad would have paid for it. But because he didn't know, he didn't ask. Listen, this is what I'm saying. We got to believe that God is good and that he's good to you and he's big to you and that he can do big things. And when you're overwhelmed, don't run away from him. Run to him. He's the one who's your rock. It's higher than you are. Will you bow your heads with me just for a minute? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here and say, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, and I know that, and he knows it, but I want that. We're going to say a prayer in just a minute. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. Maybe you're here or you're watching online. You say, you know what, I used to have a relationship with the Lord and I've gotten away from Him. So we're going to say that same prayer. This same prayer applies to you, whether you're here or whether you're online. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I know I need to come to the Lord. I need to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and wave it at me just for a second? Say, now that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. If you're online, I can't see you. But this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to pray this prayer with you. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Here, we're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.